Well, man, what a good crowd to see each and every one of you tonight with so much going on next door over in the school with Vacation Bible School. That's just been a great blessing. If you've had an opportunity to go over there and see what's going on, that's been really, really good. And looks like a good crowd of kids and a good crowd of workers, which is so encouraging to see that. Amen? So encouraging to see a good crowd of workers. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been in a break from our series in Genesis. And so that we all stay on the same page, those that would want to hear what we've been talking about, we're going to take a break from the break. A break from the break. Now, that'll blow your mind. We're taking a break from the break. Amen? We're going to break on. So we're going to find ourselves in Daniel chapter 9 this evening. Daniel chapter 9. And what we're going to be discussing tonight is praying for His glory. Praying for God's glory. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to go over this and then have an opportunity and a time to pray for God's glory. And I tell you what, America needs to fall on its knees and seek God's face and pray for God's glory. Amen. We desperately need to pray for our president. He has an agenda, and his agenda, I can't read the man's mind, but I can only see his actions. And when you're at a memorial service in Dallas and you try to make a political statement furthering your own liberal agenda, when people are mourning the death of their families and their co-workers and their husbands and their fathers, it's just so disappointing. It's just so disappointing. The first 10 or 12 minutes of our president's speech that he gave was eloquent, moving, comforting, helpful. And then, as he has done in this last couple of years of this second term, he has slid back into this gun-hating, Second Amendment, wanting to do away with, and just... commentators call it race baiting, and it's not very unifying. And I think it's unbecoming of someone that is holding such a high office and has such influence over the people of this country. So let's begin by praying for him this evening, and then we'll get into the word tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we our hearts are heavy for our government, for the highest office in the land, our president. Lord, we pray that you might bring conviction in his heart. You might bring Lord, you might give him what he needs or what he's looking for in order to bring us unity. Dear God, we just ask that you see this situation. Lord, we just pray that you have an attentive ear to this situation. And Lord, we just pray that you work accordingly to this situation. Lord, help us love all people. Lord, I think we all know that all lives matter, not just black lives or white lives or yellow lives, but we all matter to you, God. Lord, I pray that some of these that are demonstrating for a certain color of skin, Lord, I wish that they would, that Lord, you might help them see that unborn black babies' lives matter. Lord, and they might take up that cause. Father God, forgive us where we fail you tonight. Lord, we don't seek to be judge and jury of President Barack Obama, but Lord, we pray his words in the future you have another one of these mass shootings or police killings or, Lord, another one of these violent outbreaks or outbursts occur, we pray that you might give him just words of comfort instead of words of politics when people are so desperately in need. We pray a special prayer tonight for Dallas, for those as they lay these bodies into the ground, that you get them through this difficult time, that, Lord, you sow seeds of salvation in the crowds that are in attendance, that, Lord, you would point people towards yourself and towards your word, that you would draw people as you comfort them, as you give them what they need to get through this horrific time. Lord, you might prick their hearts, pique their interest. You might bring them to a saving knowledge of who you are. May this be the beginning of someone's salvation through all the hellishness that has gone on in Dallas. Lord, may you bring your glory. May you be manifest. May you draw those to your side that so desperately need you. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, we're in Daniel chapter 9, and what we're basically talking about is this prayer. We'll stand here in a moment and read the passage, but we're talking about this prayer here that begins in about verse 4, Daniel 9, and it goes through about verse 19. We're not going to read all of that prayer tonight, but we are going to read a portion of it beginning in verse 15. So if you would like to stand in honor of reading the inerrant Word of God together, Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, and we'll take it through verse 19 this evening. Daniel 9, beginning in verse 15, and we'll take it through verse 19. The Word of God reads this: "And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate." Notice what he says here: "For the Lord's sake." For the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, notice what he says here again, but for thy great mercies. For the Lord's sake, verse 17, but for thy great mercies, verse 18. Verse 19 we begin reading: "O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do not defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this prayer this evening, Lord, that we can study just a little bit, Bible study through. Lord, I pray that we would get the impetus here. We would get the emphasis. We would get what's going on. And that Daniel is praying that you be glorified most of all. Lord, help us shoulder that, understand that, come to grips with that, and help us in our own prayer lives to do a better job of praying that, that you be glorified. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you for our salvation tonight. Lord, be with the children next door. Be with the workers next door. And as missions are discussed and the gospel is presented and, Lord, seeds of salvation are sown, we pray that you just, Lord, your Holy Spirit, just be free to work. And Lord, if there's anyone over there tonight or this week that needs to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, that, Lord, it would happen, that your gospel would bear fruit, that your word would accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Lord, what we're doing this week in your name would be for you, for your glory, for your praise, for your worship. Thank you that we can be a part. Sinners, struggling, saved saints, struggling along, Lord, we get to partner up with you. You partner with us, and you allow us to be part of the ministry. We thank you and praise you for that. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for standing. You may be seated. Throughout this prayer, beginning in verse 4, Daniel has used two different Hebrew names for God. Adonai, you begin in verse 4 and take it all the way through verse 19. He uses Adonai quite a bit. That's Lord in your Bible. It's a capital L, and then it's like a three-quarters O. It's not quite a lowercase O, but it's like a three-quarters O, a three-quarters R, and a three-quarters D. Lord, when you see that Lord in the Old Testament, that's Adonai. And then he goes on and he uses God here, and that's the Hebrew word Elohim. Well, Adonai is dealing with God's sovereignty, that he's in control, that I mean, he is God in control. And when he speaks of God as Elohim, he's talking about strong God, the one God, the true God. Daniel was appealing to the Almighty God. He was appealing to the very same God who created the universe, who had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, who had rescued the Israelites from captivity, and who had proven himself powerful and in control of all things, not just once, not just twice, but over and over again, God's proven himself. Right? Daniel knew he was taking his appeal to the only one who could do anything about the situation. There was no other place to go. There was no other court that would hear him. There was nothing else to say but to say it to this God. So he asked God to listen to his pleas for mercy. Would you just hear me, God? Just hear my plea, right? He asked him to see their desolations, the Hebrews, the Jewish desolations. He begged him to make his face shine upon the devastated temple in Jerusalem. Daniel was asking God to take a long, hard look at their situation. Here they are in Babylon. And from their situation from Babylon all the way back to Jerusalem. And he was asking God to do something about it. Not because they deserved his rescue, not because they deserved it, because they don't deserve it. They didn't deserve it, just as we didn't deserve salvation, but we got it. Amen? He's not because they deserved his rescue, but because of his mercy. His mercy. Because of his own reputation. His merciful, forgiving, gracious reputation. Daniel subtly reminds God that the devastated city of Jerusalem belongs to him. God, it's your city. It's yours. That the temple in Jerusalem is dedicated to him, but the temple is in ruins. Daniel appeals to God's reputation for your sake. For your sake, he says. He shows concern for the name of God. This prayer is a whole lot. See, the prayer is a whole lot less about Daniel and the people of Israel, and it's more about what? It's more about the reputation of God. Yeah. God, look at our country. God, hear what's going on. And oh God, for your reputation, do something. Do something. Daniel seems to know that God is going to act for the sake of his own name. God always protects his integrity. God always protects his reputation. He has given his word to the people of Israel to be their God and to keep his covenant with them. And Daniel knows that he will do what he has promised to do. And he boldly intercedes accordingly to his faith in God's word. Daniel also shows a great deal of concern for the city of Jerusalem and its temple. Daniel's prayer was not a selfish, it was not a self-centered, it was not a self-absorbed prayer aimed at his own rescue and restoration, but he was praying, Daniel was, on behalf of all the people of Judah, including those back home, as well as those in Babylon. His concern was for the nation of Israel. Well, if you're not concerned about your country tonight, if you're living with blinders on, You're just concerned about what's going on in your home or your town. Just concerned about what's going on in your church. Folks, we need to be concerned about what's going on nationally. Nationally. He was praying on behalf of the nation, the people, the chosen people of God, and the city that bore the distinction of containing the temple of God. How often our prayers, as we think this through tonight, how often our prayers are far more focused on our own needs than on God's reputation and glory. Are you hearing me tonight? See, Daniel seemed far more concerned with the fame of God, with God's reputation, than with his own situation. Do you see that in the prayer? Go home and read that tonight, verses 4 through 19, and just see if you get the flavor of it. See, the truth is, Daniel had a pretty good thing going on in Babylon. I mean, he's sitting pretty good. He had a government job. He had a nice government pension. He had weathered the storms of persecution early on in his time in Babylon, and now he's sitting pretty, right? He's gotten through that persecution. He's living well. He's enjoying a certain degree of prominence and prestige. Daniel has access to the king and he's in good favor, right? He's got it a lot better than a lot of Jews during this time. A lot of Jews, if they knew how good Daniel had it, would probably envy old Daniel. But Daniel was more concerned about God's glory. He could not stand the thought of God's temple lying in ruins, the city of Jerusalem sitting unoccupied, and the remnant who remained living without a king. He wanted God to act. He longed to see God display His power and exert His sovereignty on the earth. You know, I tell you, for those of us that live in America, I wish we could get a hunger to see God move. Not so much in the stock market. Yeah, not so much in the economy. But see the power of God move in the home, in the hearts, in the neighborhood. Notice that Daniel did not tell God what to do. You look at verses 4 and take it all the way through 19. He doesn't give God a to-do list. He did not give him a long list of expectations or demands. He simply asked God to listen, to look, and to act. That's what he asked him to do. Sometimes we can be so bold and presumptuous as to not only tell God what is going on in our lives, I think God knows what's going on in our lives. Amen? I think He knows. But I think sometimes we get so presumptuous that we let God in on the secret on how to fix what's going on in our lives. Like we're sovereign somehow, right? We not only share our needs, we share our demands. And in doing so, our concern becomes less about God's glory. See, we got to have some balance here. We got to be seeking God's glory. We need to be praying for God's glory. We need to be praying God be glorified. Amen? I think that's what we're trying to get across tonight. In so doing, our concern becomes less about God's glory than about our own good. We want what we want, not necessarily what He wants. What, see that? Now, there's nothing wrong with sharing our requests with God. Nothing wrong with that. I was telling the men Monday night, you know, my daughter went on this 7-week deal with the Guardians Drum and Bugle Corps. And they're in their last week in Corsicana at Navarro Junior College. Beautiful campus, by the way, Navarro Junior College. We got to see her Sunday. Brother Ronnie was so gracious to preach and fill in, and Brother John brought a ministry report last Sunday night. Thankful for those men, allowed me to spend some time with my daughter who I hadn't seen in about 2 weeks. But I'll be honest with you, when she shipped off, I was concerned about the boys, about the 17, 18, 19-year-old boys trying to put the move on my daughter. Well, those concerns were dashed when I got to Corsicana and met some of her dorm mates, not in her immediate room, but in her little two-bedroom dorm. There's a little 17-year-old lesbian. Yeah. Cute as a button. Cute little girl. But wants to be with women. I'm telling my wife, I mean, you know, we're praying on both ends. You know, Lord, help her stay pure, for not be sucked into this deviant, abomination lifestyle. This girl was sweet. She was nice, polite. But, yeah. So I'm bringing that request to God. Amen? There's nothing wrong with sharing our requests with God. The Scripture commands us to do so. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." But there's a huge difference here. There's a huge difference between sharing our problems with God and telling Him exactly how and when we want them solved. See? God is not our personal genie. You remember that show, don't you? Yeah. Barbara Eden, wasn't it? And was it Larry Hagman? Yeah. And it was I Love Jeannie? Remember that? I Dream of Jeannie, right. Well, he loved her, but you know, in the show he did, but I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah. God ain't that kind of God for us. No. He's not a personal genie to us. He does not exist for our glory. Our prayers should focus far more on God's reputation and His glory than our own glory. Amen? And that's what we're trying to get to tonight. See, Daniel wanted to see God act. There's no doubt that Daniel would have loved to have seen Jerusalem restored, the people returned to the land, and the nation of Israel reborn as God's chosen people. He had read in the scroll, he had seen it in the Old Testament scroll containing the words of the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet that this was exactly what God had promised would happen. So Daniel wanted to see the promise fulfilled. But his concern, Daniel's concern, was far more focused on God than on himself. And that, you know, that's what I told my daughter. You know, when I said goodbye to her Sunday afternoon, you know, I gave her a hug and I just looked her in the eye and I said, "Make Christ honoring decisions." That's all I said. I didn't say stay away from that girl because she can't. I didn't say shun that girl because she can't. She's actually kind of befriended that girl. She's actually trying to be Christ to that girl. So we shall see. Amen? We shall see. A restored Jerusalem and a rebuilt temple would bring glory. Would bring glory to the name of God all around the world. A little restored girl getting out of the lifestyle of lesbianism would bring glory to God. Amen? A broken country that fell back on its face before God would bring glory to God. Amen? The release of the people of Israel after 70 years of captivity in Babylon would take a miracle of God. And when it happened, God would get the glory, would He not? For God to do all of this despite the fact that the people of Israel did not deserve it would speak volumes about His grace, would speak volumes about His mercy, would speak volumes about His love, would speak volumes about His forgiveness. Amen? Yeah, that's what we need. This miracle would display His power and prove His sovereignty over all nations. It would convince the people once again. It would convince the people one more time. It would convince the people He is a covenant-keeping God. That's who He is. Praying for God's glory requires something out of us, though. It requires that we trust in God's goodness. He is a good God. He is a gracious God. We must learn to trust Him to do what is best. To do what is best. Let me tell you something about our God that I have learned over years of living and learned from studying His Word. He will always do what is right. He will always do what is right and will always act in such a way that His reputation remains unstained. Always. You say, well, I'm waiting. Well, it's His timing, okay? He created time. He created the universe. You just hold on. It's going to come to fruition, okay? He's going to act in such a way that His reputation remains unstained. Now, we may not always understand God's motives. We may not even like, at times, God's motives, because we're down here on this side of time, and He's on that side of eternity. He sees yesterday, He sees today, and He sees tomorrow. We have forgotten halfway about yesterday. We're living in the moment, and we don't know what's coming tomorrow. So when it comes to His motives, sometimes we don't even like them. But God always does what brings Him glory and results. He does what always brings Him glory and results in our ultimate good. Our ultimate good. Whether we see it or not, how He acts always results in our ultimate good. The key is learning to care first. To care first for His glory. I've been guilty of this, so it's on my heart. To care first for His glory and less about our own good. Do we care about our own good? Oh yeah, we care about our own good. I care about my kid in Corsicana. I care about my little Lillian, man. I care about that little girl. And Dr. Carr helped her out. Thank you, Miss Carr. You made a good doctor. Amen. You and Brother Carr made a good doctor. He helped her out. He got her all straight, lined out. God using Dr. Carr to help Lily, right? That's right. Ministered to her. She's on her way. She's got allergies super-de-duper bad. And Aubrey had the same thing. We were remembering back, me and the wife, Stephanie, and Aubrey went through this, and about the time they hit puberty, Aubrey grew out of it. And Dr. Carr told us the same thing. She gets a little bit older, starts getting into puberty, she'll probably leave this on down the road. Dr. Carr told me, man, he had allergies so bad when he was growing up, his dad started mowing the grass, he would just swell up. I mean, just hay fever, it just was awful, right? And so that's what she's got, allergies. So, whoo! Load off of this daddy's mind. Amen? So, we're concerned about our good, but we need to be more concerned about His what? His glory. And we need to pray that way. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into our prayer time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can gather around Your Word this evening, and we can go all the way back to the prophet Daniel. Lord, that we can see his impassioned prayer. His prayer for Your glory, for Your reputation to be protected, for Your mercy to go forth. And Lord, I pray as we look at our own country, Lord, as such a blessing it is to be in this country, we've got some great challenges ahead. Lord, we pray that You would protect this country as we go through this political cycle. Lord, I pray that You would help Supreme Court justices focus on interpreting the law and less on commentating about who's running and who's not running. Lord, I pray that You would help our president see that we all matter. Lord, that we all matter. Lord, I pray that You would pull the liberal blind off of his eyes and allow him to experience salvation. Lord, I pray that You might one day come into his heart, save him, and that he might be a catalyst for the salvation of many people in his family and many people across this land, Lord. I know he's got an agenda. He knows he's got an agenda, Lord, and he thinks he's got his life planned out the next 5, 10, 20 years. But Lord, I pray you put a preacher, you put a church, you put a group of people in his path that he just can't turn away from Christ. Oh, Lord, I know he claims to believe in God. But Lord, I don't know if he knows you personally. And I pray you shake his world to the point that he gets it. Lord, be with us as we go through this prayer time tonight. Lord, we pray for these folks tonight. Lord, speak through us. May we be a conduit. May we just try to hear from heaven tonight in our inner man and communicate back what needs to be said. May we bring glory and honor to your name tonight. We pray for your glory as we go through the rest of the week. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Praises, testimonies. Yeah, Bobby.